This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do it.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder Minisode,
where we tell you your stories back to you.
The best way to hear your stories,
yeah.
Through someone else's mouth.
Yep, that's true. And these mouths are owned by Karen and Georgia. And we always ask you guys for your hometown murders, and you send us these amazing emails, and we have like a fucking inbox full of them.
People are really trying to sell the story in the subject line. I respect what they're doing. Some of it is tricky. I think last time I said make sure there's only like 8 paragraphs,
yeah,
that was a mistake. 8 is way too many.
8 is more than enough.
4 is good.
4 is great if we can get some large print, some double spacing.
Yeah, don't do tiny print.
Absolutely don't.
I'm 75 years old.
All right.
Do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
The subject line is Pennsylvania Hex Witch Murderers and a couple others because I'm obsessive and can't decide. I'm sorry. It's cool. From Judith.
Thank you, Judith.
Hi, my name is Judith, and I've always been obsessed with true crime. I grew up in a little town called New Park, right on the MD-PA line. What states are those?
MD is Maryland. PA is Pennsylvania.
That's right, Georgie.
Yay! Oh, my God, I'm learning.
In southern York County, this is where the Hex Witch murder and trial happened. In Ree Myers Hollow.
Ooh,
is
all
this
of that.
Fiction?
This is from the 1800s.
This is, oh, my God, what if we got a ghost email?
Ooh.
From the 1800s. My mom originally told me about this murder when I was little, and I investigated it myself, aka Google search, because our landlord literally wrote the book on it. Cool. Yeah. She always told me that he was one of the lawyers involved with the trial, but I don't think that was possible because he was born the year it happened. Ha ha. The story. In 1928, this guy named John Blymeyer, so it is old.
Oh my God, I like it already.
Yeah.
28.
This guy named John Blymeyer believed that he had been cursed by this recluse named Nelson Remeyer. I don't know why he thought this.
Crazy.
Sorry. John's last name is Blymeyer, B-L-I-M-I-R-E. And the other guy's last name is Remeyer, R-E-H-M-E-Y-R-E.
Weird.
M-E-Y-E-R. Anyway, sorry. I just thought I'd cite that. It's a fun spelling area that I wanted to go into. All right. Remeyer was a powwow doctor, which is a mix of witchcraft and faith healing brought over by the Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh my goodness.
This is very educational.
It is.
This local witch named Nellie Knoll, known as the River Witch of Marietta, advised and convinced Blymeyer to go to Remeyer's house to find his copy of the spell book to make him undo the hex. Blymeyer got two others together who also thought they'd been hexed to go with him to Remeyer's house. Remeyer, of course, would not cooperate, and they beat him to death and mutilated his body, thinking that this would undo the hex.
What the fuck?
I don't think that's how it works.
No.
Yeah. From all the horror movies I've seen,
yeah,
when you mutilate someone, then they're going to stick around for a while.
That's true. And you're the monster.
And you become the powwow doctor.
Turns out you're a monster.
You're the dick.
Yeah.
The trial was, of course, a big deal in the area and drew lots of media attention for obvious reasons. Our landlord is an eccentric old guy from our area and literally just decided to write a book on it. It's a super interesting book and sold everywhere in York County. There's also a documentary that was recently released on it, and you can see it on Amazon, but I haven't watched it yet, so not sure how good it is. You can also tour the house, which I really want to do. It's the only murder that I know of in the area, and one that everybody there seems to know about. I work at a local TV station in DC, and so we hear about murders and fucked up shit all the time. I added a couple of the ones that I've been fascinated with because I think you guys will love them too. Really quickly have to see, oh girl, that this just goes on and on. I'll just read the Mansion Murders. Have you heard of that? No. May 14th, 2015, super wealthy Greek family living in upper Northwest DC, were found murdered in their burning home.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we can't go into all these.
All right.
It just goes on and on.
Thanks, Judith.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's good because that was not that long ago. You don't think people thought that that was still a thing and murdered people over it.
Worried about being hexed and then murdered the person that they thought hexed them.
You know what the problem is staying in a small town. You get so bored, I think, right?
Once you go to the roller rink a couple times and smoke cigarettes behind the gas station,
there's
you're
nothing
like,
else.
We've got to kill somebody.
We did it all. Let's kill somebody.
We've got to get super paranoid and start murdering.
Guys, move out of your small towns.
Although I have to say, I really like the idea of a town knowing there's a witch that lives there.
Yeah.
I mean, that I like.
And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Just know, don't murder witch.
I mean, and witchcraft it's not that big of a deal. It's like kind of cool.
Well, except for if you freak out about it.
That's true. All right. This one is called Murder Story Near Miss, and it's by Jason. And I really like it, and I think you're going to love it, Karen. It's short. So my friend Tony has always been a loudmouth and is a school teacher in Wichita. He lives in the suburbs. He got home from work one night and found his two dogs had escaped the backyard through his makeshift fence repair. He goes searching around the neighborhood and finds them leashed in a neighbor's house a few doors down. He thanks the man for catching the dogs, apologizes that they had gotten out, says, I don't know where they're getting out. I'm going to fix it this weekend. The neighbor is firm in stating, well, too bad. I already called animal control and they're on their way. You can pick them up from the pound. Tony says it's not necessary. It won't happen again. And it devolves into a shouting match and a little scuffle as Tony forcibly takes the dog away and back home. 2 weeks later, the neighbor is arrested. You want to know? Ready for this, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rader. BTK.
No! What?
My loudmouth friend got in a screaming match with a serial killer, Jason.
Oh my God, that was such a good surprise.
I know.
I honestly thought you were going to be like, the neighbor killed him and buried him in the very fence line that got let the dog. Oh, that is the greatest.
I know.
Because also, what kind of I got so mad immediately. Who would?
An asshole.
Yes.
And also, he killed a lot of people. But what an asshole.
But also, just a bad neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a dick move of like, no, you need to be punished. Even though you didn't get caught, I'm going to punish you.
Yeah.
Because a red flag personality.
Yeah. Get him arrested immediately.
Yeah.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Do you want to hear? Okay. Hometown story, Davenport, Iowa, or nannying for a murder, or that one time I got a back rub from a killer. I don't even know why I asked you that. All right. This one's kind of long. Okay. This is from Amanda. So, all right. When I was 18, my best friend and I picked up her brother from a ninjutsu class. The class was held in an industrial estate that was completely empty in the evenings when the surrounding businesses closed. The brother told us that his instructor was starting a class just for girls, and if we went along next week, our first class would be free. Uh-oh.
No, no.
We got to the studio and we were the only two there. He hadn't told anyone else about the class. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. We don't want to offend him. We were stupid. After the class, he said he needed us to come up to the office to complete some paperwork. We went upstairs. So stupid. She wrote this, not me. I'm not saying this. He took us into the office and locked the door behind him using a key he put in his pocket. The only furniture in the, what?
Just the locking a door with from a key. The inside with a key.
Totally.
No, nightmare. No, no.
Nightmare. Like, you have to put that lock on that door.
You immediately start screaming. If somebody in a scenario like that, where it's somebody you kind of don't know, has locked you into a room with that person.
I know.
Grab the phone and start dial 911 and just start screaming.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
Lose your shit. What? Who would do that?
No, I know. It's insane.
Why are we fighting?
Because I'm going to lock you in a fucking room.
No!
Okay. The only furniture, here's fun. The only furniture in the office was a bed We sat on the bed and filled out the paperwork. I gave him my home number, my home address, my work address. Have I mentioned how stupid I was? We were freaked out, but didn't know what to do. We told him we needed to get home, but he said he just wanted to chat. He offered us some, quote, wine he was making himself in a bucket under the bed.
No.
It had fruit and bread floating in it and smelled like garbage. We politely declined. He offered us weed. Then he offered us something stronger. We said no to everything, the only smart thing we did. At some point, I kind of winced as I moved, and he told me he was great at massage. He got me to lie face down on the bed while he rubbed my back, and then in all caps, she said, I did this without arguing. We'd been in the office for well over an hour. We were frightened and feeling trapped. Suddenly, someone was banging on the door downstairs and shouting that he knew Chris, the instructor, was there because his car was outside. Chris had to unlock the door and let us out. This was 20 years ago. We had no cell phones and hadn't told our poor moms where we were. Other than we were going to the martial arts class. Over the next few weeks, he called me repeatedly at home and visited me at work until the security guards told him that they would call the police if he came back. About 8 months later, a young mother was found dead near her front door and her baby was missing. The baby was later found unharmed in a nearby church car park. The police visited me at work for a statement. Chris Lewis, the instructor, was arrested for the murder of Tanya Furlan.
Oh my God.
He was never found guilty because he killed himself in prison. The look the police man and woman gave me when I told them I'd let him massage me still makes me cringe. Let this be a lesson to all people to not be polite. Nope. If it seems weird or creepy, all caps, get the fuck out of there. Don't lie down on a killer's bed. Oh, Amanda. Good job.
Oh my God.
Dude, you know you and I both would have done something fucking stupid like that.
I did. I know. 100%. But that's that thing where it's like people who are offering you free shit. People who are saying it's all girls.
Yeah.
People who, like, any of these things, that we're not trained very well yet. I think kids these days are, but, like, we certainly weren't. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, sure. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Like, adults who want to hang around children.
No.
Red flag.
Red flag. 1,000%.
1,000.
That's amazing.
One more?
We're glad you're still here.
Yeah.
So the subject line of this is creepy shit is creepy.
Hell yeah.
It's from Lindsay. Hi, ladies. I just had to write this email while at work because I discovered your podcast thanks to my twisted writer comrades who are all thoroughly obsessed. While my town, Grove City, isn't particularly famous for crazy murders, the local city, Columbus, just had something super creepy happen.
Yay.
And I thought you would love to know.
We would.
On March 4th, 2016, Joey LaBute went to the Union Bar in the Short North District of Columbus, a rather famous area as it's home to a thriving LGBTQ community, with friends at 12:30 a.m. March 5th. Joey left the table to get a drink. Security footage shows Joey leaving the bar alone and walking down the street. His car remained at its parked location a few blocks away, and there was no activity at his apartment, and none of his credit cards had been used. The last thing anyone heard from him was a text sent at 1:22 a.m. that read, capital J H N SIOTJ period.
What does that spell?
It spells nothing. It looks like John with no O, is backwards, and OTJ.
Out.
It's all one. He remained missing until March 29th. He was found floating in the Scioto River that runs through the city. The cause of death was undetermined, but he only had alcohol in his system and no water in his lungs, meaning he was dead before he went into the
water. That's true.
However, there is no evidence of physical harm. The mystery remains unsolved.
What happened?
Anyway, that's all. Keep kicking ass. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered.
Is that the smiley face murders? Is that the one where they keep finding men in rivers and like college towns with smiley faces spray painted on the walls nearby?
I feel like the smiley face murder, the one I know about is older.
Okay.
This is super recent.
Those might be two different things, but that's, the fact that he doesn't have water in his lungs scares me.
That's horrifying.
Did he hit his head on the way down?
No, I mean, there's no evidence of physical harm, which is super weird.
Plus, if he had hit his head, he wouldn't have, like, died instantly.
But it seems the first thing I thought of is maybe he got dosed, you know, like maybe he got roofied and he felt weird. You know, they always say like, if you're going to have a heart attack, a very common thing when people start to have heart attacks, they get up and go into a different room.
No.
Because that's a really common thing that a lot of people die of heart attacks because they separate themselves from who they're with because they're like, oh, you know, something's wrong. And they try to like go to the bathroom or get away. And so there's a chance maybe he got roofied and started feeling super weird. So he just got up and walked. He needed to go outside and like get fresh mm-hmm. air. And then by the time he realized he was like, he didn't know where he was. He tried to text, but he couldn't put anything together.
Oh my God. That's so scary.
I mean, doesn't it seem possible that something like that?
It does.
And that the person who dosed him in the bar followed him.
Ooh. Oh, and that's how he got in the water.
Yeah.
Puzzle piece that would make it not make sense to me that he ended up in the water, but if someone put him in the water.
Right. It's a common thing that like serial killers do because it gets rid of a lot of evidence to go into a river.
Yeah.
And it just sends them away, like current wise, gets the body away.
Bye. Oh my God, that scares me.
That's a good, as much as we like a murder story, a mystery, this is still a but. The mystery aspect is also fascinating.
Love a mystery. I'm going to do one. Let's see. This one's called Nannying for a Murderer by Taylor. Hey, ladies. Maybe this is cheating because this is recent. My friend used to nanny for a family where I lived in Sugar House, Utah. The father was a pediatrician and the mother a scientist researching cancer. The couple divorced. In 2011, Yuta von Schwildler was found dead in her bathtub. The examiner said she died from a combination of overdosing on Xanax and drowning, but did not determine if it was a homicide or suicide. It's worth noting she also had a few knife wounds.
Oh, that is definitely worth noting.
Yes. For more than a year, there was basically no investigation. However, the 18-year-old son insisted that the father had something to do with it. After a year of accusing his father, they finally charged him. The two youngest siblings were removed from the father's custody, and my friend kept them during this time.
Whoa.
I used to ask her if she thought he was guilty, and she wasn't really allowed to have an opinion. By law, she had to remain a neutral party, as to not influence the younger children. My friend had these children for 6 months or longer as the story unfolded. A jury convicted the ex-husband, John Brickman Wall, to 15 years. It boiled down to his non-existent alibi, unexplained scratch marks, and blood spatter evidence from said knife wounds. Who knows? Yuta could have been the woman who cured cancer. As far as I'm concerned, we can blame John Brickman Wall for anyone who has died of cancer after 2011. Cheers, Taylor. 15 years for murdering his wife. He's going to be out in 7.
Yeah, what's the... did they have to bring him up on like lesser charges than first-degree murder?
Maybe man-something slaughter?
God. Wow, that's intense.
Totally. Bummer.
It never ceases to bum you out when we go to read murder stories.
Isn't that weird?
Bummer. You know what? I don't like this.
Do you know what? Never mind. I want to read cheerful stories.
You know what? Here's a story.
You know who is happy about this, though?
Oh, there is someone who benefits from all of these stories.
One person who's very, very happy about these murder stories. Elvis? Oh, stay mini. Wait, go? Yeah.
Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered. Elvis, want a cookie? Good boy.